So we really had a great week, and after a year off, it was great to see all the kids' faces again. We even have some fifth graders who this was going to be their last year, and a couple of them came up to Polly and I at the doors each night, and a couple of them said, we'll be back next year to be helpers. So that's what kind of week, and that's what kind of VBS that happened around here. So one more time for VBS staff and all the kids and everything. All right, so any kids that want to go to the junior church, now is your chance to escape the sanctuary and go to the junior church. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but we're already building the prayer warriors up in that pre-K class, man. Wasn't Coda intense? He was into that prayer. That was awesome. That was really awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. Here in our worship center, and a special good morning to all those joining us on our virtual campuses of Facebook and YouTube. And I invite every one of you here and on virtual land out there to get your Bibles ready and turn to Exodus 3 as we get into His Word today and see what the message He has for all of us. But I do have to take one more quick moment for a VBS public service announcement, a PSA. As you just saw, we had a great week at VBS. And I see by the look of many of your faces that you are wondering, how can I get involved with VBS next year? Well, I don't want you to miss out on all that fun. So just let Jenna, myself, Polly, or Charmaine know, and we will add you to the growing list of volunteers. If God's calling you to help, don't wait. Get your name added to the list today. Because next year, we're going to Jerusalem. So just give you a little insider there, Jerusalem with Jesus. So it should be very, very good next year too. All right, PSA is over. Back to the message. So we just finished the United series last week, and next week Pastor David and I are team teaching and starting the new series Amazed. And so there's all kinds of great topics in that series. But as I was sitting there, I realized that this week I got to pick any topic I wanted. We weren't part of a series. There was nothing predestined for me to talk about. So as I was sitting in my office this week, I went back and looked, and I figured out I haven't had an opportunity to just speak on anything in over 3 years. Over the last 3 years, it's always been in the middle of a series when I've spoke. So I finally get to just do whatever I felt like. And so I was like, I better pray about this. And I thought about it, and I grabbed the old Bible, started scanning through it, and then it hit me. I don't know if any of you know anything about this amazing book, but there's a lot of topics in here to choose from. There's a lot to choose from. I understand why teachers follow, you know, calendars and stuff for their teachings to make sure they stay on track, because there's a lot to choose from just in this book, just like textbooks at school, but there's so many amazing topics. So I figured, all right, I better go to prayer again. Pray to God again. And I said, Lord, what do I pick? Lord, could you just do me a solid here and help me pick what I need to talk about on Sunday? I mean, we are talking about Moses and VBS this week and trusting God, so how about something along those lines? Yeah, I like that. I think that'll work. Thanks, God. Did any of you notice something about that prayer? Yeah, I led the whole thing and didn't give God a chance to speak. I squared off, went to it. Now, did God smack me or let his authority be known at that point? No. He just let me continue to wander through the Bible, or my own wilderness, I should say, for 4 days. Not 40 days like the Israelites, or 40 years, I mean, like the Israelites, but 4 days he let me wander. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I was looking at all the VBS lessons, reading the Bible, but there's still so much to talk about just in the story of Moses and the Israelites, and I just couldn't whittle it down. So on Thursday afternoon, I started reading scriptures about trusting God, since that was our overall theme. And of course, I came across this one from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. I thought, okay, I can talk on that. I can tie it into the week of VBS. So I started going down that path. And after about 30 minutes into my study time, I looked at this passage again, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but in the Message version. It said, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the only one that will keep you on track. Then it hit me. When I pray, I never listen to God's voice. So I said a quick prayer and promised to listen for his guidance. I shut my Bible, went around and got all the thermostats set for the last night of VBS. And later that night, after Polly and I had gotten home and discussed the VBS for the week, she went to bed, I put my headphones on, and I listened to some Christian music. And I repeated the prayer, God, I am listening. I want your guidance before I write this sermon. So I just sat there, rocking in my chair and listening to worship music until around 1:30 in the morning, and I decided I better go to bed if I was going to be awake to write a sermon tomorrow. And as I was getting under the covers, there was a word that kept calling, kept going in my head, and that was the word calling. It just got stuck in my head, calling, calling. So I wrote it down in a little journal by my bed, and when I woke up Friday, it was still there. So I got into his word, and then the question kept swirling around this old noggin. What is my calling? You know, over the last 12 years as youth minister, I have been asked by different students that question, but in different forms. Like, how do I know God's purpose for my life, Jeff? I've been asked, how do I recognize God's will for my life? I've also been asked, how do I know what God wants me to do with my life? All those questions come back to, what is my calling? And come back to two specific words. And I just mentioned them in the VBS volunteer PSA. God's calling. Well, God's calling. What does that even mean? I heard people use those two words to describe their career choice. I've heard people use those two words to describe the ministry or the ministry choice they got into. I've heard them describe it for the plan God has for their life. And depending on the context, any one of those might be accurate and true. So I just want to try to add a little bit of clarity about God's calling today. Let me first say, if you've already accepted Christ as your Savior and have been baptized, you have been called by Christ already. You heard his calling, and you responded to God's calling in his life by accepting Jesus as your Savior and getting baptized. John 6:44 tells us, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day, I will raise them up. The Father draws you in. The Father calls to you. When you accept that call, you've accepted his calling already. And once you accept that sovereign call of God, he also calls us to be the image of God in our daily lives. 2 Timothy 1:9-10 tell us, for God saved us and called us to a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, because that was his plan before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. The holy life, that's the image of God. That's how we are to live. You've been called into that if you've accepted Christ and have been baptized. You are now called in to live a life, a holy life, in the image of God. There are a few things that it includes. Here's probably the top four, but not the only ones. Love God, loving God first, loving others second. You can find that in Matthew 22. Making disciples of all nations. You can find those scriptures in Matthew 28, talking about that. Your holy life includes seeking God's kingdom first. Matthew chapter 6 tells us about that. And we've been called into a holy life, into an image of God, by serving others. And Matthew 20 verses there are just some of the verses talking about serving others in the Bible. And that's what a holy life includes. And that just names a few of the things that the image of God should look like in our lives, that we should portray the image of God to the world. Now, I know some of you are sitting there thinking, we get that, Pastor, but I really want to know about my specific calling. What is God calling me as an individual to do? How do I know what his will for my life is, for what I am to do? And that's the third type of calling. It's the one most people want to know about. And when you're talking about this third type of calling, There are six things we must do to discern, or in other words, recognize God's calling in our lives. And to see those six things, we're going to go to God's Word, because that's where our answers lie. We're going to God's Word today, and we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. So we're going to stay with the Moses theme. And we're going to look at chapter 3, starting in verse 1, right there in chapter 3. And the first thing we need to do to discern God's calling in our lives is to wait on God's timing. Wait on God's timing. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. At this point in Moses' life, he's probably around 80 years old. He's been working for his father-in-law for, you know, about 40 years or so since he fled Egypt. This is where he ended up, and now he's been working for his father-in-law. He has a family, and he's pretty entrenched in his life when God now decides it's time to reveal his specific calling for Moses. Moses is not sure what's about to happen, but I'm guessing this wouldn't have been the moment he picked for God's revelation of his calling. This is not when he would have picked. In fact, Moses tried to take things in his own hands when he was in Egypt the first time, when he tried to look out for his Hebrew brethren, and he wanted to protect one particular Israelite slave. But he ended up getting angry and killing an Egyptian, which is why he had to flee and is in Midian right now in the first place. So Moses, by trying to do things his way, by trying to do his plans and not God's, well, it didn't work out. But now we see Moses in this place, and at this time, he's much older. Like I said, he has an established family and home. But because God's ways are not our ways, and his timing is perfect, well, Moses gets a shock to the system, so to speak. Like Moses, we shouldn't try to force the issue, force God's calling in our lives. We need to be patient and wait on his timing. But in addition to waiting on God and his timing, if we want to discern God's calling, we need to have a heart open to God. We've got to have our heart open to God. If you go to verse 2, where we left off in chapter 3, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses come to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. Whew. That's a moment right there. Can't even fathom it. You see, Moses is a God-fearing man, and he is open to the Lord's leading. So he sees an angel appear to him in a burning bush. He understands he needs to go check it out. He doesn't run away like I probably would have done. He goes and checks it out. He has a heart that wants to serve God and to not run away from him. Have you ever been afraid of what God was going to say to you, or afraid of where God may be leading you? If you have, you may have missed an opportunity to receive your calling, because we have to keep our hearts open to him, no matter what we might be ready to hear, what he might be getting ready to tell us. We have to be open to his subtle leading, to the path he's going to guide us on. We can't make excuses to not go check out our burning bush, or to listen for God's gentle whisper. We must be like Moses if we want to discern his calling for our lives and keep our hearts open to God. And the third thing we must do to discern his calling is come into his presence. We must come into God's presence, his presence. Verse 5 says, "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. By walking up to the bush, taking off his sandals, covering his face, Moses was acknowledging the Lord. He was acknowledging God was in that place. He showed his respect and honor for God, who was right there. And he was preparing himself by doing all that to experience the presence of God. Have you ever been sitting in maybe a break room at work or at lunch at school and with a friend or a coworker, and you begin to eat your lunch that you brought from home? Your friend or your coworker's lunch is made from a homemade fluffy bread. It's a two-hander, you know, sandwich. Yeah. And it's stacked with fresh meats, fresh lettuce, chopped garden tomatoes, a slice of cheddar cheese with a fresh dill pickle on the side, right? And then you look around him or her, and there's all the small side dishes neatly wrapped up, you know, in little containers, like a dish of macaroni salad or chopped fruit. And there on top of it is a slice of homemade cake wrapped in cellophane. Oh, oh, oh. Great lunch, just looking at you. And then you look at yours. A couple pieces of flattened bread with bologna and cheese, and maybe a smear of mayo or a smear of mayonnaise or a smear of mustard, and a stale bag of chips that had been hiding in the back of your pantry. And then you had a coagulated plastic dish of pharmaceutically sealed Jell-O pudding that you took from your kid's stash, right? That's your lunch. And as you look at your friend's or coworker's lunch and you discreetly wipe that drool off the corner of your mouth, you let out a silent sigh and munch down on your quick grab-and-go lunch, right? Well, folks, many times we come to church or we come into God's presence in our prayer time or whatever, and we just slap ourselves together and we just come and we just expect something to wow us, just as you were wowed with your coworker's carefully prepared lunch. Brothers and sisters, we need to do more than just grab and go when it comes to our time with God, when it comes to going into his presence. Think about this right now. The last time you sat down to pray, or maybe a time when you came to church, would your preparation have been any different if you knew Jesus was going to be in the room, sitting beside you at your table as you prayed, or sitting beside you in the pew right now? Guess what, though? He is here. He is here, and he is always there for us. We just need to come into his presence and acknowledge him the way he deserves to be acknowledged, the way he deserves to be honored. We can come into God's presence daily through prayer. Do you set time for God every day? Do you prepare yourself for that time? Or do you just sit down? God is good, God is great, let us thank him for this day, amen, and go on. Do you turn off all the distractions that you need to when you come into God's presence? Do you let yourself totally get immersed in God? Oswald Chambers said, "The call of God is not just for a select few, but for everyone. Whether I hear God's call or not depends on the condition of my ears, and exactly what I hear depends on my spiritual attitude." If you truly want to know God's calling for your life, then you need to come into his presence every day. Now, from here, the scripture also shows us that if we want to discern his calling, we need to be quiet and listen to God. And that was a tough one for me earlier in the week. That's why it took so long to put this together. But if you go to verse 7 and look at what Moses did, "Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering." And he goes on to tell him he's going to take him to the promised land in verse 8, and the cry of the people in verse 9 has reached him. And then he says in verse 10, "Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." While working for a local volunteer ambulance corps, there were two EMTs, and they were responding to a call with lights and sirens going when they approached an elderly woman in her car right in front of them. Well, much to their annoyance, nothing they did would make her get out of the way until the driver of the ambulance got on the PA and said, "Please pull over to the right side." Well, she pulled over quite quickly and let them by. Well, several hours had passed, and while they were returning to their base, the EMT saw the lady still pulled over on the side of the road. Thinking something was wrong, they jumped out and went to her, but she just sat there smiling at them. When they questioned her as to why she was still sitting there, she explained, God told me to pull over, and he hasn't said I could go yet. Well, they explained to her that it was them who had told her to pull over because they'd gotten a call. But she was very insistent as to that it was God who had told her to pull over. Seeing that they weren't going to persuade her otherwise, they got back into their ambulance, went around the block, and pulled in behind her. The driver got back on the PA and said, "Madam, you may now continue on your way." She quickly pulled off and went on her way. You see, she, like Moses here in these couple verses, actually listened to God. But unlike Moses, which we're about to see, she quietly waited to hear him speak again. She waited for him to tell her what else to do. She quietly did the next thing we all must do to discern the call of God in our lives. We must accept the call. We've got to accept it. Verse 11, but Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of the ancestors has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations.'" Then look at the first two words of verse 16. "Now go." You see, Moses is not just listening here. He's not. But more importantly, he's not accepting the call. He's not accepting the call of God and of Jesus in his life. He's actually what? Protesting. He's protesting. Now, I'm not going to read all the rest of the verses of 16 through 22, but I want to encourage you all to do that this week, because in these verses, God starts to lay out his plan. He tells Moses what he, God, will be directly involved with, and he begins to show Moses the blueprint and what Moses needs to go and do now. He tells Moses to go, but let's look in chapter 4, verse 1. Moses is still protesting. But Moses protested again. "What if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, 'The Lord never appeared to you, Moses?'" And then God goes on in verses 2 through 9 to explain some of the signs and wonders he'll perform through Moses by using the staff and another means. He's showing them all this so that they will believe. But even after all that, if we go to verse 10, Moses is still not in acceptance mode. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. "Oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled." Then the Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say." But Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please send anyone else, anybody else, please send them." Then the Lord became angry at this point with Moses. "All right," he said, "what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well, and look, he is on the way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. Take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you." Now, I know through all that, we often think, how could Moses argue with God? What's he thinking? I mean, Moses said, "I know you are my God," by showing up at the bush and taking off his sandals and covering his face and coming into this presence. And I understand this may be the calling for my life, but I think you should send somebody else. anybody else. But thinking about Moses, maybe we need to look at our own lives and think about, have we ever felt God's nudging, God's calling in our own lives and thought, he's not talking to me. That can't be what he wants me to do. Or what other excuses have we made to ignore or avoid his calling? You know, it's simple to understand why we should follow God, but it's not always simple to follow him. But when God calls, we must accept the call and move forward. If we love God and follow his son, then it's clear we must accept his calling for our lives. And then we must follow the final step in discerning his call in our lives. We must trust God and go. Trust God and go. Verse 18. So Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law. Please let me return to my relatives in Egypt. Moses said, I don't even know if they're still alive. Go in peace, Jethro replied. Before Moses left Midian, the Lord said to him, return to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you have died. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and headed back to the land of Egypt. In his hand, he carried the staff of God. Moses finally stopped fighting, stopped protesting, stopped pleading with God, and he accepted the call. He put his trust finally in God, and he gathered up his family and left for Egypt. He gave up his life that he had, moved his whole family, and let God lead them back into a hostile land. Finally accepted. More importantly, he trusted God and went. My question to all of us today is, will you answer his call? There are different ways to answer the phone in this day and age. Of course, now we have caller ID on all our cell phones, and when it comes up, you can just say, hey, whatever the name is, you know, like, hey, Lou, hey, Steve, hey, you know, you can say whoever is right there, you can just say, hey. Other ways of answering the phone include saying simply, hello. Some will say their last name, which is what we did in our house when I grew up. You would answer the phone at home and say, Dysons. Others will just answer the phone real flippantly and be like, you got me. Or one of my favorites is, talk to me. Just as there are different ways of answering phone calls, there are also different ways to answer a call from God. God has called each of us. We are called to be saints. Romans 1:7 talks about that. We're called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:9 talks about that. We already read 2 Timothy 1:9, which calls us according to God's purpose and his grace. But just like with our phones, those who are called by God, they have different ways of answering the call. We saw how Moses originally answered the call. He says, who am I to go? And he protested and pleaded. Gideon in the Bible, when he answered God's call, he says, I'm the least in my father's house. In Judges chapter 6, and then Zechariah in Luke 1 answered, how shall I know this? He's wanted more answers from God before he answered the call. And then Isaiah in Isaiah 6 answered God's call by saying, here am I, send me. So how will you answer God's call in your life? It's a call that demands much more from you. God calls asking for nothing less than everything you have. But it is a call that offers the presence of God in your life as you fulfill his calling, the calling for your life. So will you answer his call? Will you be the man or woman of God that he has called you to be? Are you willing to accept the responsibility that God has laid on you or will lay on you? See, God is calling. How will you answer? And I hope it's with this takeaway, our takeaway for today. No matter the calling, I will trust God and go. No matter the calling, I will trust God and go. Make that your mantra. Memorize it. Keep it as part of your life. So even when it gets uncomfortable for what God is calling you to, your answer still is, no matter the calling, Lord, I will trust you and go. Make that your mantra. Church, we must be united and willing to be united in how we answer the call. We need to answer it this way. Lord, no matter your calling, we will trust you and go. Are you ready and are you willing to answer the call? Let us pray.